This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. Hello, and welcome once again to this mind training series, wherein we are going to bring about a change of our minds in regard to what we thought we were. It's called A Course in Miracles. It's a systematic way to change our minds about all of the ideas that we would be a body, that we'd be alive in this world, that we could get old and sick and die. Those of you who have been watching the so-called master teacher, whatever that may mean, okay, are beginning to feel the experiences of the joy and love that I'm offering you through the evolvement of a certainty of a discovery of light that now surrounds me along with you, if you'll accept it from me as a teacher of God, that somehow I am giving you my blessings. Now, the manner in which I came to know who I am, okay, as a confession would be, I did not particularly employ the ideas of going out into the world and blessing my brother as a part of my certainty that as a minister of God, I could dispel love and bring that about. It didn't occur to me that way. It occurred to me in my need to love that I couldn't find within myself a satisfaction for a purpose for being here. Now, many of us are sharing that. We also discover, if you're with me at this time and place, that when you attempted to share the blessing that you began to experience in your need to find love within your relationship, you were required to deny someone else. Very simply, in your identity with yourself, in the specialization of that body form, you're expected to enclose yourself in a relationship that was denying you access to another segment of this world. And you call that love. And indeed to you, it was love. Somewhere within this process of space-time, you have discovered with me that love is eternal, eternally creative and forever. And to limit love through the limitations of fear that you impose on yourself is no longer attractive to you. The simple truth of the matter is you've been living in a dream of death. The revelation, the certainty that the Father and the Son are one, and that our minds actually share a single reality, will come to all of us in a moment. Yet is that certainty not determined by our conceptual associations with each other, but in a moment of the realization that we actually share the light and love of God. Now, as your teacher, as you have instructed me, I am offering you through our teaching that in our blessing of each other, we can discover that we are our single mind. Let's practice that just a moment. We've been working with this, haven't we? And those of you who have seen the other videos, let's try it. Ready? I can only give to myself. All around me are projections of my own mind that I have limited by my fear of the loss of myself. I'm afraid to bestow my entire blessings on them, first of all, because I might lose some of my own blessing, and secondly, I'm not actually certain that I can give blessing to everyone. And that's why you need the transformation of your mind, so you can understand that in a reality, you're actually only blessing yourself. Outside of you are all the ideas you have about yourself within this time containment. Let's practice. Say to me, are you ready? Ideas leave not their source. Say it. Yeah. All of the ideas you have about yourself within this space-time continuum are still with you. And they certainly include all the things that you hated and no longer wanted to be a part of you, from which you now defend yourself for fear of the realization that they might be included entirely within you. Now, what did this require? A rebirth in you. An idea that you could be born again in the realization of the light and love that's all about you. What a great teaching that the necessity for an experience of your own mind has, in a literal sense, nothing to do with the world at all. That the salvation of the world depends on you, because you brought this world with you when you came. And when you leave here, this world will be gone. But you sure as heck can't leave it if you're going to project from your mind things that you don't want. What does that mean? You're going to have to forgive. No matter how difficult that might appear to your conceptual mind, I'm looking right at you. And I've been watching your television where you say you have no intention of forgiving that enemy. That's the same as saying I'm going to condemn myself to the revenge that I think I need forever. I can never escape until I can come to realize that what I thought I was in my own guilt is not true. So this is going to be the certainty that we can offer the blessing through the experience. Let's go back and review just for a moment the offering of Lesson 160. It said to us that all around us is the joy and the love of God, along with the idea from the text where we read that there's a beautiful world that you can stride into in just a moment. Listen. Can you imagine how beautiful those you forgive will look to you? In no fantasy have you ever seen anything so lovely. Nothing you see here, sleeping or waking, comes near to such loveliness. And nothing will you value like unto this, nor hold so dear. Nothing that you remember that made your heart sing with joy has ever brought you even a little part of the happiness this sight will bring you. For you will see the Son of God. You will behold the beauty the Holy Spirit loves to look upon, and which He thanks the Father for. He was created to see this for you until you learn to see it for yourself. And all His teachings leads to seeing it and giving thanks to Him. This loveliness is not a fantasy. Are you listening? It is the real world, bright and clean and new, with everything sparkling under the open sun. Nothing is hidden here, for everything has been forgiven, and there are no fantasies to hide the truth. The bridge between that world and this is so little and so easy to cross that you could not believe it. It is the meeting place of worlds so different. Yet this little bridge is the strongest thing that touches on this world at all. This little step, so small it has escaped your notice, is a stride through time into eternity, beyond all ugliness into beauty that will enchant you and will never cease to cause you wonderment at its perfection. Here we are now entering in to that new world. The idea that it's a step in your own mind that you can make, not with the certainty of where you're stepping, okay? Because the certainty of where you're stepping will keep you in this world. Because this world is a projection of the latitude you employ within time to retain that old body. Those of you who are willing to accept my love for you, not based on your body at all, will begin to discover that this old guy that you identify as being around for 74 years actually is brand new at this moment. Will you look at me for just a moment, wherever you may be in time and space? I recognize you as brand new at this moment because this is the only moment that there is. Let's practice it together for a moment. We have over a period of these, say how old you are, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 100, 1,000, 5,000 years old. How about 5,000 years? That'll take you back 3,000 years BC. That would be the same as 75 years, or 50, or 20, won't it? Because contained within that fabric of association are moments of joy and peace and happiness. They're lost almost immediately in your need to defend them. The certainty that this lesson contains in the blessing that we're going to offer to each other is the idea that it's impossible for you to get old and sick and die. I'm going to express this to you in a particular way if I can. See if you can recognize this with me. Let's take the most joyous moment that you can remember. Huh? Everyone out there, pick a time and place where just for a moment within your memory you experienced real happiness, certainty, security, love. You were understood for that moment. The world was perfect, all right? And all of it came crashing down on you, or all of it was lost somewhere in time because you were forced to take that moment of love and identify it within your memory form of thought. What happened when you did that? You had to believe that you could have old memories. Look at me for a minute. I don't have old memories, okay? All memories of everything that can ever occur are going on right here and now. What I'm curious about you who are getting old in that body, it must be that you look back at yourself, you recall moments of happiness or of fear, and associate that thought form within your own mind as what you are. And since that appears to be 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, you can't see that it's actually a thought that you're having now. The thought of love that you had then or will ever have, you can have right now because love is what you are. Now, will that include all of the thoughts you had about fear? The loss, the idea that you could suffer pain, the funerals you went to, the weddings, the births, the combat, the evilness of this world are all going to be included in your mind. Your acceptance of them for a moment in the inclusion is the entirety of you that takes the step into what momentarily was unknown to you. Can you see that? Momentarily then, you take a step that reveals to you the entirety of the inclusion of the guilt from which you suffered in order to get old and die. Are you with me? No? Listen to me there, you occupying that body. You are guilty of occupying that body. You are guilty of believing that body is who you are. You are guilty of letting this world of sickness and pain tell you that's what you are. I'm in your mind right now telling you it's not true. Now, if you're determined to find me guilty of occupying this space-time with you, that's exactly what you'll do. And you say, well, you're just as guilty as I am of being a 74. Will you listen to me just a moment? Do you think for one moment I'm going to let you tell me that I'm some sort of old World War II veteran that was disabled, that underwent the experiences of the atomic bomb area, that therefore I'm qualified somewhere within the limitations of your self-identity and our association to believe that there's a complete alternative? This complete alternative came about in us very simply by our inability to solve the problem of who we are. That's what I'm offering to you. The problem, as you have identified it, cannot be solved. Now we're ready for this lesson. I'm going to give you the entirety of the blessing of your own mind in your discovery that indeed the problem cannot be solved. If the problem of who you are cannot be solved, and this was back two lessons, that self of dark form that you have let replace you. You now think that's you, and you identify with the other dark forms. How in hell would you solve the problem? You get old and sick and die where one of your old projections appears to be younger and more able to cope with the necessity for you to retain your own fear. My goodness sake, it's not true. This lesson is going to attempt to teach you that if you'll give me your blessing, without the need to defend yourself from the whole truth of what you really are that I'm offering you, we'll spring out of here together. Because it's going to say there is one mind, and that's the mind that we share with God. We are not separate from each other. So can you see that? So let's look at it together, and maybe we can decide after we listen to this that we're going to bless each other in the certainty of the discovery of the love of God that we share. Listen. Today, we practice differently and take a stand against our anger that our fears may disappear and offer room to love. Here is salvation in the simplest words in which we practice with today's idea. Here is the answer to temptation, which can never fail to welcome in the Christ where fear and anger had prevailed before. Here is atonement made complete, the world passed safely by, and heaven now restored. Here is the answer of the voice for God. Listen, complete abstraction is the natural condition of the mind, but part of it is now unnatural. It does not look on everything as one. It sees instead but fragments of the whole, for only thus could it invent the partial world you see. The purpose of all seeing is to show you what you wish to see. All hearing but brings to your mind the sounds it wants to hear. Thus were specifics made. And now it is specifics we must use in practicing. We give them to the Holy Spirit that he may employ them for a purpose which is different from the one we gave to them. Yet he can use but what we made to teach us from a different point of view so we can see a different use in everything. Listen, one brother is all brothers. Every mind contains all minds, for every mind is one. Such is the truth. Yet do these thoughts make clear the meaning of creation? Do these words bring perfect clarity with them to you? I hope so. What can they seem to be but empty sounds? Pretty, perhaps, correct in sentiment, yet fundamentally not understood nor understandable. Why? The mind that taught itself to think specifically can no longer grasp abstraction in the sense that it is all-encompassing. We need to see a little that we learn a lot. once more, we need to see a little that we learn a lot. It seems to be the body that we feel limits our freedom and makes us suffer and at last puts out our life. Yet bodies are but symbols for a concrete form of fear. Fear without symbols calls for no response, for symbols can stand for the meaningless. Love needs no symbols, being true, but fear attaches to specifics, being false. Bodies attack, but minds do not. This thought is surely reminiscent of our text, where it is often emphasized. This is the reason bodies easily become fear symbols. You have many times been urged to look beyond the body, for its sight presents the symbol of love's enemy Christ's vision does not see. The body is the target for attack, for no one thinks he hates the mind. Yet what but mind directs the body to attack? What else could be the seat of fear except what thinks of fear? Let's talk for just a moment about the idea that you think you're a body. Okay, there. And you think that I'm a body representing our need to get old and die together. Okay? What's difficult for you to see in this lesson of love that I'm offering you, all right, is the complete abstraction of the idea of the Holy Spirit, the idea that there was one reality of eternal life, need not be your attempt to find the abstraction. The reason that that is true is because both your love and hate are specific in how they want to identify your wishes and your needs. Can you share this with me? Anything that you represent as a symbol, you may love momentarily and subsequently hate because of the change that's going on in your mind, in your need as a conceptual authority to be specific in the relationships of your consciousness identity. The entire teaching of this Course in Miracles is to allow you on a continuing basis to vacate right there your necessity to be specific in the conclusions that you think that you have to reach about the organization of your sequential time mind. Are you ready? Are you listening to me? All of your conclusions are false. Every conclusion that you are having about yourself in your body form, in your need to occupy that carbon, hydrogen, oxygen association of light form is not true. They are old references that you maintain in your mind, fearfully project from you, organize in momentary reassociations so that you can maintain fear and make it specific. Your necessity to make fear specific is based on your fear of the entirety of the fear. What you're actually afraid of is the entirety of that moment in space-time when just for that moment you were separated from everything that is. This description of the astrophysicist that this universe was born in a fraction of a second, and you still live within that moment of fear. Yet it's entirely impossible that you would see it as an entire moment of fear, because contained in that entire moment is the universal mind of eternal life that we're sharing. So what have you done? You've grabbed a hold of that fear, that dark form in your own mind. You've identified it as a body. You've projected some of the solutions to your problems outside of you and love to fear together. Can you see that with me? You are in a condition of the mind where the complete abstraction of eternal love and happiness is impossible for you to see. The practice of our love that we're sharing for each other now is to allow you just for a moment to experience, I might as well use the word, unconditional love. And I've heard you guys bat that around a lot in the belief that there's such a thing as unconditional love. You want to share the certainty of what I'm offering you? Huh? There isn't any such thing as unconditional love. What there actually is all conditional love, and that's what you're afraid of, because that would require the forgiveness of all the enemies and evil ones out there that are denying you access to heaven. You listen to me. The only thing that is denying you access to heaven is your own mind. If you think there's something out there that's denying you, you cannot not believe that your source of reality is denying you, since your source of reality is everything that you are. So what's occurring in this lesson, if I ask for your blessing, is that we can exchange just for a moment, not unconditional love, because that's impossible, but the inclusion of what we previously rejected from our own mind in expression of the totality of our need, in a new definition of ourselves to escape from this space and time. It doesn't actually show us heaven. We're already in heaven. It shows us through the forgiveness of each other that heaven is available to us at this time and place. Yes, that's the truth of the matter. Okay? We're going to have to leave you here in just a moment or two. This has been the first 30 minutes of the discovery within your own mind training procedure that a complete alternative of what you thought you were is available to you. And we're going to share it through what? Laying down our defenses, let ourselves appear to be attacked. Our enemy is going to attack us. No, he's not. Why? We were attacking ourselves. We can't know that until we momentarily lay down our defenses. Now we discover to our happy amazement that all that's out there, all of those figures within our own mind, are actually sharing together the love of God. What a very happy idea that is. So we're going to leave you for just a moment. You remember with me that time isn't passing. Everything that is ever going to happen in the entirety of your sojourn into space-time is going on right now. And that's what you've discovered as you invite all of your enemies to come and share this table of plenty, love that has been set for us so we can depart together into eternal life. Remember, God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we think. So we offer once again with certainty, God bless us, everyone. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. So this is your Course in Miracles, isn't it? A mind training that you've been using now daily, I hope daily, where you've been practicing the idea that available to you no matter where you went in this time and space segment was a complete alternative. The Christ mind that is actually a totality of your occupancy here, but you haven't been able to see him. Why? You have used your hatred and pain and anger, okay, based on what appears to be your separation and the retribution that you think is necessary within your own mind to sustain that weak and frail and failing body that you adjust so well in your determination to get old and sick and die. I didn't mean to affront you with that. But I'd appreciate it somewhere at this time and place if you look at what hatred has caused. Everything that you see in this world represents your own fear. And fear cannot exclude the idea of hatred and anger and pain and death. When you see a brother out there as representing an enemy, someone who has caused you pain, someone that you're going to seek revenge, someone who is going to say, I am going to get an eye for an eye, in your Old Testament, you remember this, the Savior of this world, my Savior, Jesus Christ, has appeared and told me no. He has told me that my enemy is actually my friend. He has told me that the one I hate, the one I'm trying to get even with, is actually who I am. He's also told me that all the power in the universe has been given to me, and through his demonstration of illumination and resurrection, I can see it. And I am instructed by him to take my place and heal the sick and raise the dead. And that's what I'm doing. And I hope that's what you're letting me do with you right now. But it's going to have to include a momentary examination of the method that you have been employing in order to exist within the reciprocity of exchange, a form that you think is necessary to sustain yourself, because it's not true. The idea that you would simply have to give all of yourself away in order to know who you are is this basic and fundamental teaching. Let's return to the lesson just a moment, because it's going to say that hate itself must be specific. That's why your cultures hate each other. That's why you pick on scapegoats. That's why you look for somebody you can laugh at and attack, because you need to take the fear and anger that's in your own mind and express it out in the world. The offering that you're experiencing now is very simply, I'm not going to do that anymore. I have learned through these lessons of forgiveness that love is a whole part of what I am without my need to define it in the existence association that I thought was me. Let's listen together now to this lesson 161 from our Course in Miracles. Hate is specific. There must be a thing to be attacked. An enemy must be perceived in such a form he can be touched and seen and heard and ultimately killed. When hatred rests upon a thing, it calls for death as surely as God's voice proclaims there is no death. Fear is insatiable, consuming everything its eyes behold, seeing itself in everything, compelled to turn upon itself and to destroy. Listen. Who sees a brother as a body sees him as fear's symbol, and he will attack because what he beholds is his own fear external to himself, poised to attack and howling to unite with him again. Mistake not the intensity of rage projected fear must spawn. It shrieks in wrath and claws the air in frantic hope it can reach to its maker and devour him. This do the body's eyes behold in one whom heaven cherishes, the angels love, and God created perfect. This is his reality. And in Christ's vision is his loveliness reflected in a form so holy and so beautiful that you could scarce refrain from kneeling at his feet. Yet you will take his hand instead, for you are like him in the sight that sees him thus. Attack on him is enemy to you. For you will not perceive that in his hands is your salvation. Ask him but for this, and he will give it to you. Ask him not to symbolize your fear. Would you request that love destroy itself, or would you have it be revealed to you and set you free? Today we practice in a form we've attempted earlier. Your readiness is closer now. And you will come today near Christ's vision. If you are intent on reaching it, you will succeed today. And once you have succeeded, you will not be willing to accept the witnesses your body's eyes call forth. What you will see will sing to you of ancient melodies you will remember. You are not for God in heaven. Would you not remember it? We're back with you just for a moment now, because the whole idea of what we're offering you is contained in the script that we just read. It's the simple certainty that I'm representing to you that you've been attacking yourself. No matter what the form of the enemy appeared to be out there, the truth of the matter is that you've been doing this to yourself. And you've been using it within your own body forms, projections of the images of you that represented variations of body identity that are actually what? Only your own thought form. Can you see this with me? Every time you attack a brother in a body association, a brother or a sister or a mother or an enemy or a cousin, I'm not concerned about whether you accept the idea of brotherhood. I am concerned that you accept fundamentally that you're only attacking yourself. Every time you attack, it's an indication of your necessity to defend. And what you are defending is not true. The Christ in you requires no defense. The reality of who you really are is sitting right next to you in the certainty that you were created whole and perfect as you are. Now, this practice says, look at me, that if you look at me based on the imagery of your own mind and release the necessity to identify us separate, you begin to see a light that's actually all around us, all right? And will show us at that moment the wholeness and unity of our mind together. Would you like to practice that with me just for a moment? I'm going to show you just for a moment how well I know you. Do you really think that in this time and place where we have come together to reassociate ourselves in another continuum, that this did not occur and that we do not know each other? Of course we know each other. To begin with, we're projections of our own minds and have rejected each other. The certainty that that rejection is impossible is what has brought us together in forgiveness and love. The certainty that we had to maintain it is what has made you be that body out there and really believe that you look down to a future where you're going to get old and sick and die in this slow continuum of time that hasn't allowed you to see the bright reality that we are offering each other now in the certainty. This lesson is going to say to pick out somebody specifically within your own mind and use him as a demonstration of your capacity to forgive yourself. Let's listen to the end of this lesson and then we'll talk about it. Let's try it. Select one brother, symbol of the rest, and ask salvation of him. See him first as clearly as you can in the same form to which you're accustomed. See his face, his hands and feet, his clothing. Watch him smile and see familiar gestures which he makes so frequently. Then think of this. What you are seeing now conceals from you the sight of one who can forgive you all your sins, whose sacred hands can take away the nails which pierced your own and lift the crown of thorns which you have placed upon your bleeding head. Ask this of him that he may set you free. Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. I would behold you with the eyes of Christ and see my perfect sinlessness in you. And he will answer whom you called upon, for he will hear the voice for God in you and answer in your own. Behold him now whom you have seen as merely flesh and bone, and recognize that Christ has come to you. Today's idea is your safe escape from anger and from fear. Be sure you use it instantly should you be tempted to attack a brother and perceive in him the symbol of your fear, and you will see him suddenly transform from enemy to savior, from the devil into Christ. And how about the Christian vernacular that we're using there? You have to remember this comes from my Savior, your Savior, the Savior of this world, Jesus Christ. This is A Course in Miracles where he is using the procedure of forgiveness that he attempted to demonstrate to the world and was immediately attacked and crucified because he dared to say that we're all equal in the sight of God and there's only the sight of God. The solution that he is offering to you now is exactly the same one that he gave you 2,000 years ago, or what you think is 2,000 years ago, is actually right now. What he says to you very simply is, I have appeared with you now representing your Christhoods. If you will practice through the recognition of your previous enemy, you can see that your enemy was you. This does take some practice, doesn't it? All right? A little advice goes along with this in the teaching of the Course. The practice of the meditative procedure of releasing the defenses of your own mind, okay, will relieve you of the tension of first having to identify him as an enemy. He already is an enemy. He already is something that you didn't particularly want to share in an entirety. If you picked out one that you have a special relationship, you would admit immediately that there's a parts about him that you don't particularly like or want to associate with, but you're going to practice forgiving them, him for them, so you can see yourself in a new light. The simple truth of the matter, if you'd like to have me tell you at this time and place, is that in a literal sense, the body identity out there is your Savior. Can you see that with me? Since he is a momentary reflection of your own mind, you cannot see him more or less than you have identified him in his body form. That's where the practice is, isn't it? Okay, now look at me and let's share this together. Shall we do this? I'm going to depend on you. You want to practice this with me? My salvation depends on you. This directly from Jesus. My Savior said to me, okay, greater things will you do than I have done. You will heal the sick and you will raise the dead, because I have represented you in heaven where you came from, and you're going to return there with me because you did. But while you're here, I expect you to employ the vision of the discovery of your love for God and for me and for this world, in the certainty that this love of light and eternal life will spread through a simple moment of my recognition of my necessity for you, so we can look together. Where two or more are gathered, I am there. As long as you hold that enemy off from yourself, seek revenge and reciprocity, are determined to exchange with him this little idea that you contained in this dark form, you will never see the kingdom of heaven, which is all around you. You see how simple this solution is? Dreamer of the dream, hallucinator, idea that you could really be separate from God. You've been asleep in a dream of death. You are being awakened gently now in a whole mind realization of who you really are. The expectations of your awakening are at hand. The moment that you have been looking for within your own time frame is here present with you now. That enemy that you used to defend yourself has changed your mind about yourself through your recognition of a moment of fear and hatred that you share where you were reconciled. Those of you who would share with me my experience will recognize that in my complete pain and despondency, in my attack upon who I thought I had to defend my country for, the idea that that enemy out there required that I lay down my life and sacrifice myself for him was turned in that moment of forgiveness to the certainty that first we shared a common cause of our need to defend the things that we love, that could be turned in the recognition of each other to an entirety of our love for this world and for God. I'm not sure how clear that was, but this is the manner in which I came to know who I am. My simple determination that all the pain and sickness and anger and fear that I expressed wasn't going to show me anything that I really needed to know. My determination in the discovery that I would be unable to continue with this practice of definition allowed me to see in an instant, through my dependency on that love of God, a love that I can share with you. And that's the practice that I'm offering you in this Course in Miracles. And it's one that you did accept. And you are gone from here. And you are home in heaven. You remember this. We're looking back at this together. This is the time and place where you accepted the entirety of our love for each other in a complete discovery unlike anything that you had ever seen before. Let's look at the text just for a moment and read together a good description of what has happened to you in the recognition of the perfection of your own symbolization within your own mind. Listen. Let's read from chapter 27 in the text, The Healing of the Dream. The world but demonstrates an ancient truth. You will believe that others do to you exactly what you think that you did to them. Could you hear that? But once deluded into blaming them, you will not see the cause of what they do because you want the guilt to rest on them. How childish is the petulant device to keep your innocence by pushing guilt outside yourself but never letting go. It is not easy to perceive the jest when all around you do your eyes behold its heavy consequences, but without their trifling cause, which was only your own death need. Without the cause do its effects seem serious and sad indeed, yet they but follow, and it is their cause that follows nothing and is but a jest. In gentle laughter does the Holy Spirit perceive the cause and look not to effects. How else could he correct your error who have overlooked the cause entirely? He bids you bring each terrible effect to him that you may look together on its foolish cause and laugh with him a while. You judge effects, but he has judged their cause, and by his judgment are effects removed. Perhaps you came in tears, but hear him say, "My brother, holy son of God, behold your idle dream in which this could occur," and you will leave the holy instant with your laughter and your brother's joined with his. Listen, the secret of salvation is but this, that you are doing this unto yourself. No matter what the form of the attack, this still is true. Whoever takes the role of enemy and of attacker, still is this the truth. Whatever seems to be the cause of any pain and suffering you feel, this is still true. You are doing this to yourself. For you could not react at all to figures in a dream. You knew that you were dreaming. Let them be as hateful and as vicious as they may, they could have no effect on you unless you fail to recognize that it is your dream. Listen. This single lesson learned will set you free from suffering, whatever form it takes. The Holy Spirit will repeat this one inclusive lesson of deliverance until it has been learned, regardless of the form of suffering that brings you pain. Whatever hurt you bring to him, he will make answer with this very simple truth. For this one answer takes away the cause of every form of sorrow and of pain. The form affects his answer not at all, for he would teach you but the single cause of all of them, no matter what their form. And you will understand that the miracles reflect the simple statement, "I have done this thing, and it is this I would undo." So there's the simple truth of the matter. And I'm together with you now, in this time and in this place, representing to you the entirety of our association with each other in this time and place where you decided what? To forgive your enemy. Where you decided to let momentarily your projections of mind show you the wholeness that is all around us. So this lesson said that we could take the abstraction of the idea of eternal life, the idea that there's a single source of reality, and that we could, in these lessons of atonement, of at-one-ment, in the lessons of the power of our minds to reassociate in our entirety of the recognition of an eternal moment that's going on constantly and in constant association with what you thought represented your body. And that if you'll just look for a moment at here, let's look together at this idea, that somehow what I'm offering you is a threat to you. And the reason that is true is because I am offering you my certainty of who you are, regardless of what you thought you had to be, or what the world told you that you had to be with an association of your own mind. Do you remember what we just read? The world is giving back to you exactly what you think you gave to the world. Not more or less, but exactly at that moment. That's your need now to release it entirely so you don't have to hold on to it. So all of the images that you see out there can now represent to you the certainty that surrounding us is this light and love of the perfect mind of God that we were searching for together. So we're in the middle of our dreams, aren't we? And we found a solution that is delighting us in the certainty that it's not connected to the world at all. Let's use the expression, we're born again, shall we? The idea that in this time and place you can be born again and merge with the wholeness of the bright form of you that is represented by your Christhood, or indeed by your brother, that you would represent to me, come together with me in our minds, that we can share that moment of love together. Thank you for accepting my uncompromising declaration of your perfection. I love you as all the universe is. I love you with the certainty that we are together in heaven. I love you with the certainty that we are back in memories just a moment, sharing the entirety of this solution. And at this time and in this place is when we discovered to our happy amazement and joy that this place of pain and death did not exist, that indeed there was no world, that indeed that it was over a very long time ago, and that God still goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we think. And if we'll share that mind together, we can discover the love now that we have for each other and all of the universe. Our lives will now be eternal as we pass from time to eternity. God bless us.